Amen. Thank you, Brother Harris. He sang the Lord's Prayer request for more laborers. And I pray that as we have this missions month and focus on missions, that we would pray that that work would start in us. I want to say that we appreciate the opportunity to be here today rather than 12 hours away at a meeting preaching. It's very nice to just travel a few minutes to get to church. And when you get here, you know just about everybody. That's really unusual for us, but we enjoy the opportunity to be with you today for this one Sunday of this month for Missions Month. When Pastor originally had asked what my schedule was, I told him this was the one and only Sunday I had available. But COVID has been very interesting with our schedule. We were supposed to start a meeting on Wednesday that went through next Sunday, but that meeting got moved to the fall because of COVID. And that's just the way things have gone since the beginning of COVID. But the Lord has been so good nonetheless, and we want to say thank you to you as one of our supporting churches for your prayer support, for your financial support. I did look it up this morning because I was very curious about this. It's right at 30 years ago that Barb and I officially presented our work to Stanley Heights Baptist Church. And next month will be officially 29 years that this church has supported us in the mission that God has called us to do. So thank you. I know not many of you were here 29 years ago, but we were, okay? And we do appreciate that, but you have been so faithful. And we don't take that for granted. And we want to say thanks for all that you've done. For those who maybe don't know us, let me give you, just add a little bit to what Brother Hill mentioned earlier. I was saved at the age of 8 in a Sunday school class. Heard the gospel. I'm thinking probably the third or fourth time that I had heard it. And I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. When they opened the Bible out in the hallway, took me out in the hallway, and I received Christ as my Savior at the age of 10. Sitting in a church service just like this one. You never know what God's going to do in a church service. God called me to be a missionary. So I've known since the age of 10 that this is what God wanted me to do. Thankful for that. Thankful for God bringing my wife and I together in Bible college. And I am extremely thankful for a wonderful helpmeet that the Lord has given to me. And happy Valentine's Day. By the way, gentlemen, if you have a sweetheart and you didn't remember today was Valentine's Day, let me just say it's too late, okay? Just too late, and maybe coming to the altar at the end will help. I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that out now. But thankful for what the Lord's done in our lives, and as you know, we have two sons, and many of you know them. Some of you know them from when they were real short, but now I look up to my sons, you know, so it's a good thing. And we are so thankful to have two wonderful daughter-in-laws now. We're really getting used to this. We like this a lot. So very thankful for that, and thankful for how the Lord has blessed us there. We went to Alaska. We spent 10 years in Alaska as church planters, helping to plant Lighthouse Baptist Church in Juneau. And then we went to Talkeetna, Alaska, and the Lord helped us to plant Talkeetna Baptist Church. Thought we'd be there the rest of our lives, but the Lord had other plans. And coming up on 18 years ago, we moved from Alaska to here in the Chattanooga area, and I became the Far North Director with BIMI. Did that for 7 years. Again, thought I'd do that for the rest of my life. But this coming June will be 11 years that I have served as the President and General Director for BIMI. And with 800 missionaries serving 100 fields of the world, that just plain old means I am in way over my head. This job is way beyond me. So that's why I say we appreciate your prayer support. There are prayer cards on the table in the back. Please stop by and get one on your way out. Pray for us. There's also BIMI World magazines back there. I'd love to see all of them disappear. It'll make my load lighter on the way home. There's the 60th anniversary because last year BIMI celebrated 60 years of ministry. And then the new one for this year with this year's theme, promoting God's saving health among all nations. And I think you'll find some interesting articles about what God is doing around the world. Take your Bibles now. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Our text today will be the first 6 verses of this portion of Scripture, but we'll be referring to a lot of other places in Scripture as well. And as I thought about the theme for this missions month, the cause of Christ, begin to meditate on that, think about it, pray about it. And, you know, I realized that if we were to make a list of men and women in Scripture who really were concerned about the cause of Christ. And what they did was all about Jesus Christ and promoting, if you will, him and his cause. I would say that the Apostle Paul would be way up at the very top of the list of someone who indeed showed forth Jesus Christ and preached Jesus Christ, and his life was all about the cause of Christ. So with that thought in mind, let me read here the first six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for what it represents. Thank you for this missions month. And as we again emphasize today the great commission that you've given to us, Lord, I'm asking for your help and for the filling of your Holy Spirit. I realize, Lord, that in order to be filled with your Spirit, I must be empty of myself. So, Lord, please empty me of myself. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, help me to say exactly what you once said today. Lord, if there's anyone here in this auditorium or anyone who is watching online that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. And Lord, help us as Christians, as we are challenged about the Great Commission, help us, Lord, to accept that challenge and to not only be hearers of your word, but to be doers as well. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Paul indeed was someone who was concerned and lived his life around the cause of Christ. And God gave him a very specific ministry to fulfill in his life. And that's the first thing I want you to see here, the ministry given to Paul, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. The word therefore, referenced back to chapter 3 and even prior to that, where he is talking about, if you will, the legitimacy of his ministry, because there were some accusing him that his ministry was not a legitimate ministry. He makes the case, verses 1 through 5, that he is indeed a true apostle and has a ministry, the New Testament ministry, verses 6 and following. But I think that most of us, when we think about the Apostle Paul and the ministry that he had, we think about the fact that he ministered mainly to the Gentiles. And Romans chapter 15, verse 16 says, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So he was given a very specific ministry by God. Of course, he preached the gospel to anybody he came in contact with, but his focus was on the Gentiles. So as he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, his next words are, as we have received mercy. He recognizes the fact that this ministry that he has been given is not a ministry that he has been nor can he accomplish in his own strength. It is a ministry that he has received because of God's mercy and his grace. And he recognizes that in his life. Listen as I read 1 Timothy chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 12, Paul says this. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. And then he says this, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And then he says this, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul says this, of whom I am chief. And then he says this, verse 16, howbeit for this cause. What cause? His cause? No, the cause of Christ. because of what Christ had done in his life, because he had experienced this grace and this mercy of God, because he knew this grace and this mercy was available to anyone and everyone. For the cause of Christ, he says, "For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul says, "I don't deserve this ministry." Think about all the things that I've done in my past. He says, "I don't deserve it." But he says, "I thank God for his mercy and his grace allowing me to have this ministry." But not only having the ministry, but continuing in the ministry. Because God's mercy not only put him in the ministry, but kept him in the ministry. Notice back in our text, he says there in verse 1, "As we have received mercy, we faint not." He says, we don't faint. He says, we can't faint. We can't afford to faint despite the trials that came his way, the tribulations, the testings that came into the life of the Apostle Paul. Can I paint the picture in your mind once again of who Paul is and all that he had gone through in his lifetime? You know, sometimes I try to have this little pity party for myself because, well, I've got a headache and I've got this problem and I've got this going on and this and other thing, you know. Oh, woe is me, all these trials in my life. You know what? When I take that list and I compare it to the list of the Apostle Paul, who was beaten with rods, left for dead, shipwrecked, and on, I realize, you know what? I don't have any troubles. But Paul says, listen, even with all of these troubles that are going on in my life, he says, I don't faint, I can't faint because of God's mercy. Notice in our text there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse number 8. He says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." He could, the Apostle Paul, if he were here this morning, he could show us scars, literal scars on his body that he endured for the cause of Jesus Christ. But now look at verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4. He says, "For which cause we faint not." He says, the cause of Christ. We cannot faint as we serve the Lord. He says, "But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." He says, the only way that I can continue on is by God's grace and God's mercy. Now, verse 2, he continues on. He says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. There were Judaizers who were accusing the Apostle Paul of being a deceiver. He says, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But we know Paul was a preacher of the truth of the Word of God, a preacher of Jesus Christ. And that's why he says to them, but by manifestation of the truth, he says, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. He says, you know me. Your conscience will bear witness that what I have preached and what I do preach is truth. And then he says this also, in the sight of God. In other words, God is my witness. God knows that I'm preaching and teaching the truth. Because you see, God is the one who Paul sought to please. You and I will get ourselves into a lot of trouble if we try to please whoever we're with. And we change. We become a chameleon or we become a politician. No, I didn't say that out loud, did I? Okay, we have to be careful to understand, yes, we want to please the people that are around us to an extent, but there's one person that you and I ultimately need to please, and it's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. By the way, that makes life a whole lot simpler if we follow that from Paul's example. Now, as you sit there this morning, you may say, Brother Snyder, that's great. Paul had a ministry. I'm really glad for his ministry, and I'm interested in hearing about it. And he was a great man of God. But what does this have to do with me? Well, I want to emphasize to you this morning that just as Paul had a very specific ministry that was given to him, so you and I, every single one of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God has given us a very specific ministry. And we are to fulfill that ministry for Him. Look there close to where our text is, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and Paul lays out the ministry that has been given to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 18. Paul says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and," watch, "hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." There's our ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. He goes on, verse 19. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath," watch, "committed unto us the word of reconciliation." That's the message. Verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." We have the ministry of reconciliation. By the way, that's an amazing ministry that we've been given. The doctrine of reconciliation is an amazing and a wonderful doctrine of Scripture. Before Jesus Christ, before salvation, the Bible says that we are at enmity with God. But through Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled to God. That is, we can be made a friend of God. Just let that thought sink in this morning. A friend of Almighty God, our Creator, through Jesus Christ. Now, you and I have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That is, to preach the word of reconciliation, to tell others, hey, you also can enjoy reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Can we just make it even, say it maybe a different way, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ? He's given us this command in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It is our responsibility to preach the gospel to every creature. God wants us, God commands us to go and to preach that word of reconciliation. Now, my question, getting very specific this morning, is this: what is it that God wants you to do specifically in obedience to the Great Commission? To fulfill that ministry of reconciliation that you've been given. I don't know what it would be. I often talk about the three big things as far as missions are concerned: praying, giving, and going. What ministry does God have for you in those areas? Praying. You know, we heard the special sung a moment ago about praying for more laborers. That is the one prayer request, the one main prayer request that Jesus Christ has given to us to pray. And dare I say that many missions conferences and missions months, we talk about that prayer of Jesus Christ and how we need to pray it. But my question this morning is this: when is the last time you specifically prayed and said, "God, please send forth laborers into your harvest field"? It's easy to talk about, but to actually follow through and pray is a whole other thing. What about the missionaries that we support here as a church? Listen, I read more prayer letters than you can shake a stick at. I know what's going on all around the world. You say, "I'm not much of a reader." Well, I'm not either. But I'll tell you what, it would do you good to grab a hold of some of those letters and find out what's going on in those missionaries' lives and pray specifically for what's happening with them. Maybe God would lay a missionary or two or three on your heart and you would make a faith promise prayer commitment for this upcoming year that every day or maybe every week you're going to pray for these particular missionaries. I don't know what it is God's laying on your heart, but I challenge you with that. Praying, giving. This is another big one. Boy, anytime the preacher starts to talk about, here comes Pastor, money, everybody gets nervous. But I talk about it all the time, so I don't get nervous. I don't mind talking about it. Matter of fact, all the money I have, guess what? God gave it to me. I'm just a steward of everything that He's given to me. And I want to challenge you today, take time to pray throughout this missions month about what God would have you to give to missions. I talked to our Sunday school class this morning. Please understand, I'm not just telling you about faith promise giving because it's something I've read in a book. We have practiced faith promise giving for 31 years. I know many of you practice it much longer than that, and praise the Lord. Every year since we began to give, we have been able to increase the amount of our giving. God has done some amazing things in our lives. I give you that by way of testimony because you can't outgive God no matter how hard you try. But my challenge is this: number one, do you give to missions? If not, oh, I encourage you. Pray and say, "God, what would you have me to give systematically to missions?" And follow through and do that. Have you been given? Praise the Lord, that's good. But I want to remind you, the need is greater now than it was a year ago. And as we look to the future, hey, there's much more that needs to be done. Pray and say, God, would you allow me to increase in what I have been giving? Praying, giving, and then going. That involves us going across the street, talking to our neighbors. And, you know, I know with COVID, it's been interesting. It really has been. But, hey, we just need to do what we can when we can. But let me also emphasize this. Can I just really focus in on the young people for a minute? What are you going to do with your life? Have you asked the Lord if He would allow you to be a missionary? It's a privilege to be a missionary. Ask. Lord, would you let me be a missionary? Now, I will tell you, the Lord may say no. The Lord may keep you right here close to home. And if He wants you here, guess what? Stay here. But God may lay it on your heart. Maybe you're a 10-year-old here this morning, just like I was in church. Maybe God's speaking to you. You say, why do you stress that so much, Brother Snyder? Because the laborers are few. Everywhere I've traveled in the world, when I've met with a missionary, they say the same thing to me every time. Preacher, tell them, we need more help. We need more help. We need more help. The laborers are few. Pray, giving, going. What is the specific thing that God would have you to do for the cause of Christ, for missions around the world? We need to know what that is. And as we do it, understand with the Apostle Paul, as he continues in our text here, as we have received mercy. Can I remind you? It's only by God's grace and mercy we are even here today. As a Christian, I realize it's nothing that I did to gain salvation, but everything that He did so that I could enjoy salvation. It's by His grace. It's by His mercy. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God stepped in. And by His grace and His mercy, He saved us. But again, I remind you, it's not just that God has put us into this ministry by His grace and by His mercy, but He sustains us as we fulfill that ministry for Him. Paul says there, we faint not. Can I encourage you with this morning? Don't faint. Continue on. Don't give up. Listen, there's a lot of things that would come into our lives that would discourage us. Do you hear there's something going on in the world called COVID-19? Have you heard about that? I'll tell you what, it has discouraged a lot of people. Have you heard about some political unrest in a country or two around the world? Have you heard about some economic insecurities and question marks for the future? Have you heard about some riots? Have you heard about some protests? Have you heard about some unrest? Hey, it's going to continue in this world. It's not going to stop because we're still on this side of eternity. But as these things go on, you and I need to just trust in the Lord, and let's use what the book of Isaiah says, to wait on the Lord, and we'll mount up with wings as eagles. We'll run and not be weary, and we'll walk and not faint. Let us not faint. How do we do that? By relying on His grace and His mercy alone. When we rely on our own strength and our own power, we will get ourselves into trouble. If you're like us in that you have practiced, let's say, faith promise for a long time, sometimes the temptation might would be, well, hey, I've got this figured out. We've got it in the budget. We know how to do this. Hey, if we get to that point, we are in trouble. We have to understand that the only way we can continue in the ministry that God has given to us, praying, giving, going, is to rely on His mercy and His grace alone. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we can be confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We faint not. But again, as Paul continued there in verse 2, he says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. He says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves in every man's conscience and in the sight of God. You and I need to continue doing what God's called us to do, no matter what anybody else says about us. Hey, they said, Paul, you're crazy. They may call us crazy too. By the way, if they call you crazy because you really are, that's your problem, okay? But if they call you crazy because, hey, you're just doing what God called you to do, just keep on going. Trust the Lord. No matter what people say, no matter what comes our way, and make sure our testimony is good before the Lord, that we're living holy lives for the Lord so that others see Jesus Christ in us. You know, the thought often comes back to me, especially as I'm in this passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we will stand before him at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. We will answer for what we've done or not done, even in this service here today. The challenge has been given concerning our ministry of reconciliation. What will we do with that challenge? We will answer for that before God someday. That's a sobering thought. But again, as we understand these things and see them in the context here of the life of the Apostle Paul, it should bring us to a point that we just do whatever he wants us to do. We go wherever he wants us to go. We give whatever he wants us to give. We say whatever he wants us to say. Our lives are his because it's all about the cause of Christ. Why is this so important? Well, point number two, because of the minds of unbelievers. This ministry God's given to us is important because, well, the minds of unbelievers, they're in darkness. Look at verse number 3 and verse number 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He says, if our gospel be hid, and I remind you, it is indeed hid this morning from millions and millions of people who Satan has blinded their minds from the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You know, many today are caught up and blinded by sin and addictions and drugs and alcohol and the things of the world. But on the other side of that same coin, there are some who are trusting in religion and good works and morality and all of these things, saying, hey, you know, I'm taken care of. But the result is the same either side of that coin. To die without Jesus Christ is to die blinded without him for all eternity. And as we think about this message that we have to give to a world, so many are caught up in so many things today. Satan uses either one. Hey, we're talking about the cause of Christ. You realize there's a lot of people out there in the world today who are caught up in all different kinds of causes? And some of them figure that those causes will help them get to heaven. You know, there's a lot of environmental causes out there that people, hey, let's save the planet. Let's do this. Let's be careful. You know, all these things. Social justice. Hey, this is it. Everybody's got to get on this bandwagon. Let's get behind this cause. Disaster relief. A tornado comes through, a fire, whatever. Hey, let's help with this. And you know what? Again, please don't misunderstand me. A lot of these causes have done some great good. So I'm not critical of the good that's being done, but I am critical of Satan, who uses those causes to blind the hearts and minds of people who figure that as long as they're part of that cause, they're assured a home in heaven someday. Oh, please, don't be blinded by Satan. I don't know where you are as far as your salvation is concerned. We have people that are listening online. I have no idea how many people might be listening today by way of the internet. But all of you who are under the sound of my voice, I remind you of a saying that goes like this: the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And all the good intentions in the world will never get you to heaven. No matter how good you are, no matter what cause you support, Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, Jesus says, but by me. If you're here today and you're trusting in some cause or you're trusting in some good works or you think, well, you know, all of these terrible things that I've done and I'm involved in, I can't be saved. Oh, no, no. Jesus says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I invite you to come to Jesus Christ today. Before you leave this place, catch me after the service. Catch Pastor. Catch one of us. Hey, we'd love to just take the Bible and show you from God's Word. Hey, this is how you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't be blinded by Satan. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of or concerning Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan does not want people to hear that gospel message. And the emphasis of today, the emphasis of this month, is missions. What happens in missions? The gospel message goes around the world. The gospel message is simple. I love it. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and He rose again, and He lives forevermore. And praise the Lord, He is coming again. We have an amazing message of hope to give to a lost and a dying world. Think about that message that we have to give. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. We have an amazing message to give to those who are in darkness today. Think back to when you were in darkness, before you knew Christ. Oh, dear friend, it's only by His grace and His mercy that He brought you from darkness to light. And now it's only by His grace and His mercy that He's given you this ministry that you can proclaim the gospel message to others so that they also can be brought from darkness to light. And that's really the third point of my message. And that is the message to be proclaimed. Verses 5 and 6. He says in verse number 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. I remind you today, it's all about Jesus Christ. Paul says, we're not going to preach ourselves. Sadly, there's a lot of preachers today who are preaching themselves. Their concern, or, hey, let's use this word again, their cause is their own dynasty, or their own kingdom, or their own church, or their own hobby horses, or their feel-good messages. And that's what their life revolves around. How sad. As Christians, we are not to preach ourselves or our own things. We are to preach Jesus Christ and Him alone. Because the cause of missions is Jesus Christ. Let's get specific. I remind you, the cause of missions is not missionaries. I love missionaries. Hey, I is one, okay? I know about this. The cause of missions is certainly not BIMI or any other mission organization. The cause of missions is not Stanley Heights Baptist Church, as much as I love Stanley Heights. The cause of missions is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Our focus is to be on Him and Him alone, because He is the one who is worthy of our praise and our lifelong service. To fulfill the ministry that He's given to us. Boy, there's a lot of, again, causes that we can get caught up in. But they're a waste of time in comparison to the cause of Jesus Christ. That must be our main focus, to preach Him. And notice he says this, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Oh, I pray God just gives us more servants. It's what we need. I am glad to say I am a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, as parents, you don't necessarily think of, you know, I want my child to grow up to be a slave. But you know what? I do want my children to grow up to be servants, slaves of Jesus Christ. Because I want to be a slave, a servant of Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing better in this world to do than to serve Him and bring glory to Him by fulfilling the ministry that He has given to me. For God, verse 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Paul says, hey, if you know Christ as your Savior, he says, you know what I'm talking about. You remember the time when you were in blindness and darkness, and now you see the light. And by the way, as a reference here, way back to the creation in Genesis chapter number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. You see, before Jesus Christ, before salvation, we were without form and void. We were in darkness. But when we came to Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, that changed everything. Just like when God said, let there be light, it changed everything. So also, when we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, God says, let there be light. And what a glorious day that is. You realize that in order to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ as a Christian, we don't have to go through a 10-week session on soul winning. We can start right away. By the way, I can prove that from John chapter number 4. Remember the woman at the well? She left her water pot. She was gone. She started witnessing right away. Hey, witnessing in its simplest form is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. One person who used to be in darkness telling others who are in darkness how to come to the light, Jesus Christ. And you know, if we've experienced that in our lives, we can just tell about what God has done for us. He finishes verse 6 there and says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Again, it comes back to Jesus Christ. And you and I, to be lights in this world, reflecting His light. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 5, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are to be lights in this world. And by the way, this world is getting darker by the day. And the darker the night, the brighter the light. And we are to borrow from that children's song that probably most of us sang growing up, hide it under a bushel. No! Let it shine. We're to let it shine wherever we go, being lights for Him. Because, again, it's all about Him. And even just after our text here in verse number 7 of 2 Corinthians 4, we realize it's all by His power and for His glory. The Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Why? Because it's not about us. It's not our cause. It's the cause of Jesus Christ. Listen, we have an unbelievable ministry that God has given to us. One that's way beyond us. And it's so important because of the minds of unbelievers who are in darkness because of Satan. And thus we have an amazing message that we give, not just a message that we've read in a book, but a message that we have experienced in our heart and our life. Are we willing to follow the example of the Apostle Paul and take up the cause of Christ and do that which He is asking us to do in this lost and dying world? Would you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed? And I just want to have a few moments of invitation this morning. I would ask you to please consider the words of the Apostle Paul, the words of the Holy Spirit, God's word this morning from 2 Corinthians. As you think about the theme, the cause of Christ, why are you doing what you're doing? Is it for yourself? Is it for recognition? Is it for some other reason? Oh, dear friend, none of those things are worth doing that for. The cause of Christ, that's worth everything. And we need to be focused on Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the invitation we mentioned a moment ago. If you have doubts about your salvation, I've asked everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, and that's because we're not looking to embarrass anyone. But if you're not sure about your salvation, we invite you to come this morning and you just sit on one of these front pews and we'll have somebody come and talk with you about salvation. Christian friend, what's God spoken to you about this morning? I don't know what it is. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But what about that specific ministry that God's given to you? Are you willing to fulfill whatever it is He lays on your heart in the area of the Great Commission? As the pianist continues to play, would you just take these next few moments and talk with the Lord silently, right there where you are. If you want to come to the front and pray, we invite you to do that. But would you talk with the Lord right now? And in just a moment, Pastor will come and he'll take the invitation.